Well, here we are at Mushroom Headquarters in Western Mass in Deerfield with Mycoterra Farm, which grew out of a basement and ended up being the biggest growing indoor mushroom facility in Massachusetts.
It's been such a wet year, I have mushrooms growing in my basement right now. That is probably not how you got started, is it, Julia Coffee here in South Deerfield?
No, I didn't get started with the moldy basement, but I get that question a lot. We grow our mushrooms indoors year-round. I actually got into mushrooms through a fascination in the soil sciences, and it's been an over 20-year journey now, which landed us here in South Deerfield, CESA's home base. It's a great wild mushroom season, though. We get a lot of people bringing stuff to get our expert identification, which I really don't like to do.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a life or death situation if you get it wrong.
Yeah. And all the rain this year has made a really fantastic summer and fall for wild mushroom forage, but we just keep them going year round.
Do you ever sprout from wild spore?
No. The cultivation technique we use for growing is a vegetative propagation technique. We work with established cultures of mycelium growing on grain. That's the spawn. And the process that we use is more like dividing strawberries or planting potato tubers. You get a more consistent and reliable result.
You're going to have a business. You have to figure out a way to rely on it.
You don't want to just fight your way through all 435 genders of mushroom to find the couple that'll give you the proper fruiting.
Exactly.
Can we go meet the mushrooms?
You want to meet the mushrooms? Yeah. Well, you're starting here in our farm store. This is like the very end of the road for the mushrooms. And we have our products, mushroom jerky, mushroom kits, dried mushrooms, fresh mushrooms, mushroom extracts, and a number of other products from other local farms and producers. But we're going to go back through the building. First, we're going to go into our commercial kitchen.
This smells good in here.
The kitchen was funded by the Food Security Infrastructure Grant. We use it for our value-added processing, and we make it available for other local producers, food carts, farms.
Is that why there's a bunch of food trucks parked outside?
Exactly.
That's where they live when they're not out serving us. They live here at Mycoterra.
All right, we're going to continue through. This is some dry storage area and home of Mass Food Delivery. In addition to Mycoterra Farm, I run Mass Food Delivery. We established it during the pandemic to be able to continue to connect our products with our customers, and we source products from local farms and producers throughout Massachusetts.
Here we go behind this giant door.
We're going through Mass Food Delivery's walk-in cooler real quick. We have a lot of different environments here.
Yeah, right.
It's going to totally throw off
It's cold now.
Equilibrium.
It smells mushroomy in this room.
There's always a lot of smells here.
It is a farm.
Right here, we are preparing our substrate. The substrate is the mushroom's food. It's growing habitat. In this ribbon mixer, we're mixing hardwood sawdust with, it looks like we're doing shiitake substrate today, so that's getting supplemented with wheat bran. We adjust the moisture content, and then we bag the material into a specialized autoclavable plastic bag that's outfitted with a little filter patch that filters out contaminants down to 0.2 microns, but allows gas exchange. The mycelium, the vegetative part of the mushroom life cycle, breathes oxygen and respires carbon dioxide, so it does need fresh air, but that filter patch is really important in keeping out competitors. So
mushrooms are like people because they breathe oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide?
Yeah, actually, the fungal kingdom and the animal kingdom.
Is that where Mario and Luigi try to... Your princess is in another castle.
The mushroom kingdom and the fungal kingdom have a more recent common ancestor than any other kingdom. So we are more closely related to mushrooms than we are plants, bacteria, viruses, or anything else.
Nice.
So
more disturbing.
Yeah. See or play The Last of Us.
Fungus is also like one of those last science frontiers where they're still not quite sure how it works.
That's one of the things that really attracted me to the mycology field. I was like young 20s and kind of jaded. And the fact that there are so many undescribed species and their physiology and chemistry, there's still a lot of mystery in the fungal kingdom. And like mystery just keeps life exciting.
You don't have to go to space to find aliens. They are both under the sea and under your dirt.
Right now, we're mixing the substrate and bagging it. The substrate bags get folded and put on these carts. We cook 900 bags a day. The carts plants get pushed into our autoclave. It's basically a large pressure cooker. It's 5 feet in diameter and 33 feet long. We're going to fit 10 carts with 90 bags each, and that's going to get sterilized at 20 PSI for 4 hours. We're going to go back to that door, and I'm going to take you in to see the lab environment. I feel like a lot of magic happens in there.
Now, this room smells real mushroomy.
Oh,
we gotta take our shoes off.
Here's some booties.
It's just like being at home.
Shaking my booty.
Shake, shake, shake. We can see mushrooms happening.
Yeah, there's already. Yeah, tell us what's happening in this room that we're just put the booties on. What we're seeing look like giant bags of dirt with little mushrooms poking out of them.
And some of them look like shiitakes and some of them look like king trumpet.
These are all shiitakes in here. So we call this our lab ante room. It's basically a staging room for the fully colonized material that's ready to go out to the greenhouses. What you're looking at here are things that started to auto fruit or began fruiting in the lab. We don't want them fruiting in there. Mm-hmm. So these are getting pulled to move out, and they've gotten a little ahead of us.
So are you still going to be able to use these?
Oh yeah, we can still grow from them. We'll remove the mushrooms that formed inside the bag when we get them started. And that's like deadheading a petunia or plant in the garden. If you remove the fruits that are on there, it redirects the energy into the viable crop. So now we can cross this line.
Here's another room filled with thousands of bags of substrate, which looks like dirt. Whoa.
Out of the end of the autoclave.
The giant pressure cooker autoclave has a tunnel that looks like a black hole with train tracks coming out of it.
Right into our cool down room. So this room is insulated from the rest of the lab. It has a clean air intake. After we open the autoclave in the morning, the racks get unloaded into this room and allowed to cool down for a couple hours. Maintaining an environment that is conducive for the mushrooms we're trying to grow helps them stay resilient against any competitor organisms. Once the bags come down in temperature, it takes a couple hours to reach about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The carts get rolled out into our inoculation space. So we can go along the journey that our blocks follow. Here's a bag of spawn. And this is a mix of grains that has the mushroom mycelium living on it. Mycelium, that vegetative tissue, grain is a great vehicle for transfer. It's got a good balanced nutrition to support the mycelial growth. It has a good form. It helps protect the mycelium. That 6-pound bag of grain will be used to inoculate 30 bags of sterilized sawdust. We'll load 30 bags onto this table in front of laminar flow hoods. It's a HEPA filter with a half horsepower blower pushing high velocity air through the filter and gives us a sterile air flow to work in front of. Then they get shelved and labeled and rolled into position for incubation. Incubation is just the process of where the mycelium grows from the grain spawn and through the sawdust and literally transforms it into a fungal organism. We have in the middle of the room here a lot of the exotic varieties, lion's mane, a number of different oyster species, Piapino, chestnut. All of those tend to incubate pretty quickly from, say, 2 to 3 weeks for the lion's mane or 4 to 6 weeks for the Piapino and chestnut. And then the majority of the blocks in this room are shiitake. Shiitake, we incubate for anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks. The longer, the better. The longer the shiitake incubates on the hardwood sawdust, the more nutrients it can gather and the higher yields. Mm. We've got probably 120,000 shiitake blocks in this room and a few hundred of each of the other species.
Wow. We're here at Mycoterra in South Deerfield where they're growing probably millions of mushrooms right now with Julia Coffey, who's giving us the scientific tour of how all of this stuff happens, and with Phil Corman from Season Local Hero Folk.
So Julia, you've talked a little bit about your path here. How's it gone in terms of what path have you blazed that maybe others have followed a bit but was not here before your work?
I started Myco Farm in 2010 in a closet in my basement. We've gone through many stages of growth. My path into mushrooms really started at Evergreen State College studying soil science. Really, my big interest is natural resource systems and resiliency and soil building. The mushrooms have been a fantastic side tangent for me in this journey. In 2019, I was awarded an MDAR composting Mushroom Grant, which has really helped me come full circle in my journey. The MDAR composting grant allowed me to buy an in-vessel composting system to compost our spent substrate and bring it back to the soil. So I've just been growing this farm really so I can have some fantastically valuable trash to then compost. And we now have a half acre of no-till seasonal crops. Our substrate is mushroom compost. And this year when there was flooding devastation across farms, and even this building and lab flooded, that field was like a sponge. I did some calculations earlier in the year. I believe the average carbon per acre in East Coast agriculture is about 8 tons per acre. We have about 40 tons of carbon in our half acre out there. So our compost is an amazing bank for storing soil carbon. We started compost sales this year, and I'm looking to grow that and to feed the soils on other farms in the valley starting next year. I keep the mushroom farm going so I can really keep diving into this compost. Like you said, there's just so many things in the fungal kingdom to learn. Essentially, all of these bags are one organism.
That's spooky.
It is Halloween season after
like,
all.
So, also a bit like cancer research.
Yeah. It can really be humbling when I'm realized that like I'm surrounded by biomass. It's got that like Ghostbusters library feel.
Yeah,
too,
definitely.
Right here. It's...
Where is Slimer?
He slimed me.
That's great!
Say that about like the Ghostbusters library, and we were literally walking into this dark, unlit corner with 8 foot tall shelves full of all of these organisms right beside us.
Listen, you smell something?
All of these, probably millions of mushrooms in separate bags, come from two living things.
Yes, there's two organisms surrounding us right now, and there's about 120,000 units of them.
You, me, Khalees, and Phil, we still outnumber them.
That mushroom library was really just incubation happening. Once the mycelium has colonized that sawdust and brought it to a critical state, then the blocks get removed from the lab and brought back to the back half of the building where we have greenhouses enclosed in the larger warehouse space. Shiitake is our primary crop. It amounts for about 80% of the 3,000 pounds we're growing a week. The shiitake initiation process starts with refrigeration. That gives them a cold shock. What we're doing is simulating natural environmental triggers to help bring on a good flush of mushrooms. We do have some lion's mane and oyster in the shiitake house right
now. Black oysters.
This is a blue oyster strain.
It's like a cult.
Really?
It's the first time I heard that, Monty.
Yeah, right?
We can go over to the actual oyster house now and take a look at some more oysters and other varieties in action.
New colors, new flavors.
Lion's mane, in addition to being delicious, look like brains while they're growing.
Yeah, they're huge.
Awesome.
It's great that they look like brains and have so many benefits. Nature's great with those things. So we have some first crop blue oysters here.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
They're really exciting to see.
They're so cute.
You could spend 2 or 3 hours harvesting this whole house. We start at one end and go down each rack from top to bottom. If it takes you, say, 3 hours, you can get back to your starting point and material that wasn't mature when you started has grown.
Wow.
And so they can just keep you running in circles all summer. Then here we have the chestnut mushroom.
I love chestnut mushrooms.
Yeah. I think they're called the chestnut because as they form, they have these beautiful ornaments that kind of look like spines, and they also have a nice nutty taste.
We're getting sprayed right now. What's happening?
And our overhead misting system just kicked on. So we use a high-pressure misting system to maintain that humid environment.
Walking through Mycoterra in South Deerfield with Julia Coffey, who's the scientist behind all of these mushrooms.
It's different. There is so much science to farming, but the fungal kingdom kind of plays by its own rules. It definitely has more of a feel of a manufacturing facility in agriculture. I'd say nursery work compares most. Basically, what we're doing is playing God. And for me, I found a lot of God in science. And so what we're trying to do is mimic the conditions they need in the natural world and trick them into giving us food year round. And I'm sure they're just like who's tricking who? Because
here we are back in the Mycoterra farm store. More environmentally, we've just been through like all of the climates of the world, it feels like, in the back there.
I do that all day, every day, yeah. Like 12 different temperature and humidity environments.
So two questions. One is, how and where do people get your mushrooms? And the second is, how do people find out more about growing mushrooms or a tour for themselves of your facility?
Our mushrooms are available at the River Valley Food Co-ops and a number of farm stores in the valley, Atlas Farm Store right in our neighborhood, and in our very own farm store here. This month, we have a couple events coming up. On the 26th, we'll actually be hosting CISA here for a farm tour. We will be offering our tour on a sliding scale for donations to the Farm Resiliency Fund. And donations over $25, folks will be able to take home one of our mushroom growing kits.
Oh, so cool.
One of those blocks that you saw in the lab, you can take home and grow your own at home. Then on the 28th, we will be doing a mushroom growing workshop at Gardener's Supply in Hadley. We'll be going over all of our mushroom kits and log inoculation practices. So if folks really find they want to take a dive into mushroom growing, there'll be a great opportunity there.
Growing your own mushrooms is really fun.
Have you done it?
I've done it.
Yeah. Did you do it in a closet in your basement?
Sorta, yes. It's actually like the stairs going down to the basement.
Nice.
But yes.
Now that I have a wet basement, I might as well grow mushrooms down there, right?
I often say grow it on a dinner plate on your kitchen counter so you don't forget about it. They actually require light to grow properly, and you want to make sure you can water. And then once those mushrooms start to pop out, they grow very quickly. So if you have them down in your basement and aren't looking at them on a daily basis,
they take over the home.
They can get a little overgrown and maybe attract some bugs. So just right on the kitchen counter, you can harvest them, and literally steps to the fry pan, you really don't get fresher food than that.
Phil, Julia did mention that donations to the Farm Resiliency Fund will get you a tour of Mycoterra and a block of mushrooms to bring home to grow on your own. There's new developments in the world of this Farm Resiliency Fund.
Well, just that farmers have only until this Friday to apply for the second and final round through the United Way of Central Mass. And all the information is on the Central Mass United Way Fund spot and also at CISA. But the bottom line is that if a farm applied in the first round, they only can apply in the second round if their needs are $80,000 or greater. If a farm did not apply in the first round, it's game to go for them.
Thanks so much for telling us all about mushrooms.
You're welcome. Great to have you here, Monty.
Now to buy some mushrooms. I did buy some mushrooms.